time for the Vintage Truth Podcast with best-selling author and Bible teacher, Jeff Kinley.
Hey, welcome to the Vintage Truth Podcast. I'm so excited that you have joined me here today. Hey, listen, I'm talking in this little series, just a little two-part series on some things that never change. And you know, you and I live in a world that is constantly changing, as the old song used to say. But the things that God says about us never change, and that's so comforting. But you know, everything changes. I mean, you're changing right now. I mean, you know, sometimes you look in the mirror and go, wait a minute, I don't like this change, right? But we're all changing. And the world is changing, and neighborhoods are changing, and topography is changing, and the oceans are changing, and the sky is changing. Everything is changing because we're in a constant state of flux. And it's important for us to pause and to say to ourselves, hey, what never changes? And that's what I'm talking about here in this little two-part series. Hey, before I jump into that, real quickly, because I know that many of you have asked me this from time to time. Hey, Jeff, what are the needs of your ministry? And I don't do this a lot, but I, you know, when I have needs, I want you to know about them, because we don't believe in telepathy, right? We can't just automatically read people's thoughts. So just real quickly, one of the things that I'm wanting to do is to produce more video of some of these podcasts, of some other broadcast type materials, of some things that I'm looking to do with my good friend Todd Hampson with our Prophecy Pros deal. If you hadn't heard that podcast, go back a couple and listen to it. Very exciting for us to come together to talk about Bible prophecy and to travel around doing that together, hopefully. But here's the deal. In order to do some more video, I need some video equipment. Not a lot, but just some. I've got the software that I need. I don't know how to use it yet, but I've got the software. But I need some rigging, some light kit, and something to hold my camera, my iPhone, that type of thing. And I think I can do all this for a little under $500. So if you'd like to donate towards that to help me in this ministry to be on YouTube a little bit more, because I'm getting more YouTube subscribers, and yet I'm not able to produce much video because of my limitations. So if you'd like to do that, to make a donation towards that, just go to jeffkinley.com and click on that donate tab, jeffkinley.com, donate tab, and you can set up any kind of donation that you want to do. If you want to do a monthly, or if you want to do a one-time, whatever. If you'd like a physical address, there's also a physical address on that website. And my nonprofit is Main Thing Ministries, as in keep the main thing, and all of your gifts are tax deductible. Okay, let's talk about what matters today, and that is the things that never change. And last time we talked about the fact that that God is for me, because the Bible does say that in Romans 8:31 says, if God be for us, who can be against us? And obviously God putting all of his resources into securing and keeping our salvation, bringing us to salvation and keeping us that way. I mean, come on, what else do you want, right? You've got the God of the universe on your side. So that's a good thing. Secondly, Romans 8:32 says that God wants to give us good things. It says, you know, if he didn't spare his only son, how will he not also with him also freely give us all things? So, you know, God wants to bless us and wants us to enjoy the blessings that he gives. I think sometimes we as Christians who are sort of more on the biblical conservative side tend to have a little bit of guilt when we think about just enjoying life. You know, James 1:17 says every good and perfect gift is from the Father above. So whatever it is in life that is good, that is enjoyable, it is from God. God has allowed you to have that. If it's funny, God allow the laughter. If it's something made you cry, God allowed that. If it's something that made you want to stand up and shout, God gave that to you. If it's something that inspired you, God gives you that too. My wife and I were having a coffee, as we do every morning together before we pray, and we were out on our front porch and just talking, and I was quoting movie quotes to her, inspirational movie quotes, and just things that really have made a difference in our lives. And you know what? We were both crying. We were both like, wow, this is something that'll take me through the day, you know? So anyway, all that to say is things that inspire us. Hey, they're from God. God gives us these things, but nothing more inspirational than the Word of God itself. So let's talk about fact number three. The thing that never changes is God says he will never, ever condemn you. He will never, ever condemn you. Now, how do we know that? Well, we know that theologically and scripturally, okay? And the way we know it scripturally is that when Jesus Christ was on the cross, he uttered a phrase. And that phrase was in the Greek, tetelestai. And that word means, it's a word that literally means it is finished. It is what is finished? The payment for sin is finished. The requirement of the sacrifice is finished. In other words, and he meant that, by the way. He really meant that. He doesn't want you to try to pay for your sin. He doesn't want you to try to pay back God or earn your salvation or try to work it off somehow, like you work off a debt, you know, sometimes. No, we're not making payments on our salvation. He made one payment, and it was once and for all, and he said, it's done. It's finished. And it was an accounting term. It was something that you put in a ledger. And he's just saying the payment for sin. And, you know, the Father accepted that payment. In fact, 1 John 2 says that Christ is the propitiation for our sins, meaning he is the satisfaction, the atoning sacrifice that satisfied the Father's righteous demands. You know, sometimes people say, well, it's, you know, the cross is not about, you know, Jesus having, you know, shedding his blood and appeasing this God or something. No, you've completely missed the point of Christ's sacrifice if you believe that. God is righteous, and his righteousness must be satisfied, and it demands that sin be punished because he's righteous. And so when Christ was punished on the cross for our sins, when he took hell on the cross for those 6 hours and experienced an eternity of God's wrath combined, compacted in that 6 hour time, and when God the Father turned his back on him and Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus was making payment. It is finished. God condemned Christ on the cross in our place. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he who knew no sin became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Hey, listen, there is no condemnation left. In fact, that's what Paul backs up both biblically and theologically in Romans 8:1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And he goes on to explain that. But listen, he doesn't say there is a little bit of condemnation left. There's some condemnation left. No, there's zero condemnation left. This is why we take the Bible at its word. This is why we believe that the Bible was meant to be understood literally. Because if you want to put some symbolism in there and say, well, no doesn't really mean no. It just means, you know, God took away most of your No, there's no condemnation. Not a drop, not an ounce, not a single bit of righteous indignation. God is not angry at those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, if you're an unbeliever, God loves you, but he's angry with you. His righteousness is angry with you, and his anger is coming for you. His judgment is coming for you. His condemnation is waiting for you. You are on death row, and your execution at death and your sentence will be to be sentenced to hell in the lake of fire forever. But if you're a Christian, there's absolutely no condemnation. You know, sometimes, though, we forget that, don't we? Sometimes we refuse to believe God's word about that. Sometimes we forget that, right? Sometimes we need to be reminded of that. Other times we don't really understand the extent of that, and we don't take it for its full value and full meaning. Listen, there's no condemnation. And so we have to guard ourselves against basically two things. Is the condemnation of the devil, because he is the accuser of the brethren. He loves to do that. And then the second thing is our own self-condemnation. You know, we condemn ourselves when we bring up our past sins, or we act as though we're not forgiven, or we don't appropriate or enjoy the forgiveness that we have, or we act as though we're still under God's sentence, so we really have to watch what we do so that we don't incur the condemnation of the Lord. No, there's no condemnation for Christians. Now, God does discipline his children in Hebrews chapter 12, talks about God disciplining his children, but discipline is completely different from condemnation. Condemnation means you go to hell. God says you're not going to hell. And so let me ask you a couple of questions. Have you ever worried that you'd lost your salvation and been put back under condemnation? Have you ever wondered that when you opened up your heart to Christ, let's say when you were a child, that you really weren't saved then? You didn't really weren't saved. You know why? Because you think, well, I didn't know much. I didn't know all this theology. I didn't know all this biblical stuff. Look, you don't need to. To be saved, you just need to know who God is, who you are, and what Christ did for you, and believe on that. That's it. That's what it means to come to Christ. How about this question? Have you ever imagined that God would change his mind about you? He's like, you know what? I was really excited about you when you got saved and you were doing so well, or a certain period of your life where you were involved in Bible study, et cetera, et cetera. But you know what? You've kind of cooled off. I'm not as excited about you as I used to be. Have you ever had that thought? Have you ever been torn apart by guilt from sin? I mean, there's probably, I would say, even greater than grief in the loss of a loved one is the weightiness of guilt that comes with sin. And, you know, David experienced that. He talked about it in Psalm 51, Psalm 32. He said, my bones even ached because of my guilt and my sin. You ever felt like that? You ever stayed away from God because you were afraid of how he might react to your sin, or he sees you coming and go, oh, great, here she comes again. She's going to ask me for forgiveness. I know it. You ever thought that about God, that he's reluctant to forgive you or reluctant to embrace you? Have you ever felt too guilty to even confess your sin to God? Have you ever felt condemned? Have you ever felt condemned? I read the story one time in a Max Lucado book years ago of a little boy and his sister who went to stay with their grandmother for a week. And they were out playing in the backyard, and the grandmother had these ducks, and the boy was throwing rocks at the ducks, and he just doing kind of being mean kind of animals, what boys do sometimes. And he inadvertently killed one of the ducks, and he was so upset about it. And so he took the duck and he hid it like under some wood in a wood pile. Well, later that evening, the grandmother finished dinner and they were getting ready to clean up. And they said, who'd like to help me clean the plates in the sink, you know, wash the dishes. And the little girl said, oh, Billy would love to do that for you. And he looked at her. He's like, no, I don't. I don't want to clean the dishes. And she went over and whispered in his ear, remember the duck. I saw you. So he went and cleaned the dishes. And next night, who wants to help with the dishes? Oh, Billy will help with the dishes. Billy helps the dishes. Who wants to help clean? Oh, Billy will help you clean. And all week long, she kept whispering that in his ear, remember the duck. Because he didn't want his grandmother to find out. So finally, at the end of the week, he broke down. And he came to his grandmother and said, grandmother, I need to confess something to you. I killed your duck. You know, I didn't mean to, but I hid it under the wood pile. And, you know, all week long, I've been doing all these chores because my sister's been making me. And you know what the grandmother said? She goes, you know, Billy, I knew you killed my duck. In fact, I watched you kill my duck and wanted to see how you would react. And even more so, I wanted to see how long you would let your sister make you her slave until you just came to me and confessed it. And now you're no longer her slave. See, that's what condemnation does. It haunts us. It's a terrible, horrible, horrible thing. So know this. Read it for yourself in your Bible. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. None, zilch, zero, no hell, no wrath, no sentencing, no fear, no dread, no worries, no anxiety. You have been justified, Romans 5:1 says. And, you know, Romans 8:33 and 34 says, who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. And who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died. Yes, rather, he who is raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. So God is just reminding us there that no person in God's court can bring a charge against you because Christ Jesus has died for you and he lives to make intercession for you. That's something, my friend, that will never change. How could God possibly condemn you when he has already condemned his son and accepted his full payment? In order for that to happen, God would have to deny the sacrifice of Christ and disinherit his own son. But God has bound himself by his word to you and the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You will never, ever be condemned. Here's one more thing, real quickly. Fourth thing in the love of change. God is for me. God wants to give me good things. God will never condemn me. And here's the fourth thing. Just take this with you. God will never, ever stop loving me. Never. In fact, God doesn't love you any more right now than he did before you were saved or when you got saved. And he'll never love you any less. You know why? Because God doesn't change. God doesn't change. Oh, what about when I'm bad? What about when my thoughts are full of lust, or when my tongue shreds another person to bits, or when my apathy gets the best of me, when I drift away from God? What about when I slip into some old habits? What about when I fall into sin and stay there for a while? What about then? Will God stop loving me then? Listen to what Romans 8, 35 through 39 says. It says, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Who's going to do that? Paul says, how about this? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or the sword? For just as it is written, for thy sake are we being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. The second time. For I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, people in authority, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing, which is everything outside of God himself. Everything else is created. Shall be able to separate us from the, here's the third time, the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know what he's saying there? He's saying, he's pretty much putting everything except the person of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit into a category, saying none of that that has ever been created or existed, including everything that is within you, your thoughts, emotions, desires, everything, nothing can separate you from the love of God. You say, wait a minute, what if I'm a liar? You mean like Abraham? Or what if I'm a deceiver? You mean like Jacob? What if I'm an adulterer? You mean like David? What if I'm a pleasure seeker? You mean like Solomon? What if I'm a rebel? You mean like Jonah? What if I'm a cocky, big mouth braggart, can't keep my mouth shut? You mean like Peter? What if I'm someone who has a big ego and I want to have glory for myself? You mean like John? What about if I'm an impatient workaholic? You mean like Martha? What if I'm a doubter? You mean like Thomas? What if I'm a sin struggler? You mean like Paul? You see, God loves you so much, he even provides the way back to himself when you fall into sin. God, it's like God is saying, you want to know how long I'm going to love you? He says, look at a hill called Calvary. Look at my son hanging, bleeding, and suffering, and agonizing, and dying there for you, and being separated from me for you. So what can remove my love from you? God says, I can't think of a single thing. My friend, that will never, ever change. And you know why that's so hard to grasp sometimes? Is because we're forgetful creatures. Over and over and over again in the scriptures, God told Israel, remember, remember, remember. You know why? Because we have spiritual Alzheimer's. That's why. We tend to forget. And the reason we forget is because we don't continually feed our minds the scripture. We don't continually immerse our minds in the truths of God's word. You see, God says, I love you. Period. And that's it. There's nothing else that goes with that. It's just, I love you. And the only thing really that needs to change is the fact that we need to think about these truths more and more in our lives. You see, what happens is as we think about these incredible truths we've been talking about, it just washes our minds clean. It just cleans out the passageways of our brain. It just makes it renews our thinking. It gives us a true sense of what is real, of what God is all about. And God never changes. And my friend, I'm so glad for that, because I change. And I'm so happy knowing that he doesn't base his relationship with me completely on who I am and what I do. Because if he did, man, I'd have the worst spiritual life. Because like you probably, you know, we have up and down experiences. Life is like a roller coaster. It's erratic. You know, our spiritual life is like the stock market. You know, it goes up one day, it can plummet the next. But knowing that God is our anchor, God is what holds us. God is our compass. He's our North Star. And it's something that will never, ever change in our lives. I hope you receive that. And I hope you believe that about yourself. And just hear one more time. God wants you to know he loves you just like you are. But he's going to change you. He's going to continue to make you into the person that he wants you to be. So maybe you just need to hear that today. That solid rock vintage truth that God never, ever will stop loving you. Hey, thanks so much for joining me on the Vintage Truth Podcast. It is my privilege to make these podcasts for you, and I hope it equips you and encourages you, makes you stronger in Jesus Christ. I'll talk to you next time on the Vintage Truth Podcast. God bless. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage Truth Podcast. Please subscribe and share with a friend. For more about Jeff's ministry, go to jeffkinley.com.